Hello and welcome back to the Couple's Guide to Stranger Things podcast. I'm Sian.
And I'm Tom.
And we're just a couple of super fans who met through our love of Stranger Things.
We have just watched and I'm about to review chapter 3 of season 2, The Pollywog.
We are indeed. Shall we dive in?
Let's go.
So before we go discussing the episode, I just want to say I have a bit of a cold, so I apologise for sniffles, if I have any coughing fits. I mean, I suppose if I have a coughing fit, we'll try and edit that out.
Well, you can't get worse than what I was for season 1.
No. Well, although people won't know that because we managed to edit out most of your coughing fits.
Most of them. There were a few I remember where you're talking and then I'm trying my best to keep it quiet in the background, but just... wasn't 100% possible.
It's not possible when I talk a lot either, so...
me and my rambles. Good luck.
So, chapter 3, The Pollywog.
Yeah.
And you've got a little interesting trivia for us.
Well, yeah. I mean, not much of a trivia, just a fact. if you include the episodes from season 1, this is episode 11.
So that's episode 11 of all the Stranger Things episodes so far.
Yes, indeed.
Very good. And... you know, it's, again, another amazing episode, let's be honest. All of season 2 is like that, though, isn't it?
So, I mean, all of season 1 is, all of season 2 is, all of season 4 is. That's something. We are going to try our best to not mention season 3 in this. Oh, damn it, we failed already.
I was going to say, you've already talked about season 3.
But, yeah, after... having to split apart the last two episodes solely because we're rambling about seasons we're not even discussing yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we need to try and stop that.
Maybe just a little bit. Unless it is really, really relevant to what we are talking about.
Exactly. If it comes up naturally, then that's that. But just, yeah, maybe the rambles just need to take a hike.
Although that's a bit hard because that is us. In general, that'd be like changing who we are.
Exactly. So that's it. We're not going to go to an extent of being super scripted and boring.
No,
that just ain't me, Chief. So, but yeah, I'm trying to squash the length down.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll give it a go. We will see. So first of all, then we start the episode with Dustin catching this so-called Pollywog.
Yeah. So that's it. It starts straight away with. Him bursting into the house and being interrogated by Claudia.
Yeah.
His mother.
His mum is brilliant. I love her. But to be honest, I love their relationship.
Yeah, that's it. Straight away, when you see what Claudia's like, you see Dustin.
Yeah.
They are very much mother and son.
And, like, they've just got a really lovely relationship.
They have.
And we don't know too much about the father situation, do we?
He's never really mentioned. I don't think he has ever been mentioned.
Yeah. So it's lovely that they have, whatever the situation is with his father, if he's dead, if they're just divorced or anything like that, it's so
nice.
I like
how death is the first thing you come to.
Well, just because he's not even, like, at Will's funeral, you know, or anything like that. He's never present in anything that's happened at all. So I just kind of assume that he's completely off the scene one way or another.
Well, yeah, so far he has been. I'm surprised they've not mentioned it at all, considering he has literally never been anywhere.
Yeah. So I just love the fact that he has such an amazing relationship with his mum. And it also makes me smile that she just believes everything he says.
Yes. I mean, that laughter was a bit of a... I don't know. She seemed a bit suspicious through that laughter, but...
I think she was
suspicious
kind of
or just
like,
nervous or something.
Well, when you think about what Dustin is like, when you think about the character of Dustin through season 1, through season 2... you can kind of imagine she's just like, okay, I'm going to pretend I understand what you do, but I don't.
Yeah, I mean, with the hammer contraption thing he makes in season 3.
Yeah.
Damn it, we failed already.
Yeah.
Twice. but yeah, with that thing he makes in season 3, yeah, he's probably already done stuff like that.
Yeah. And obviously this then leads into our first, like, real look at D'Artagnan.
Yes.
The polywog-ish creature.
Yep, indeed. The slug from the Upside Down.
Absolutely. And it did make me wonder, didn't it? And I said to you, is this the same slug that Will threw up, or is it a family member of said slug?
Well, that's it. So your question there is, why is it taken so long to grow to its current size?
Yeah, because it's almost a year later.
Yeah, it is. And I don't know. So it's definitely implying that it is the same one. I would be surprised if it's a different one, because where would it have come from? Unless it's come from all the vines that are spreading. That could be possible.
But we know, like, obviously Dart's not the only one, as we know later on in this season, with all of the Demodogs.
Well, they break through the gate at some point, don't they? So I don't think they're already in yet.
Yeah. But they're using, like, the tunnels, aren't they, or something?
I don't remember, in all honesty. I think the tunnels are just growing themselves.
Yeah.
I don't think the dogs are in them yet.
Okay, fair enough.
But I might be wrong. I honestly don't remember. But no, I fully believe this is the same slug that Will threw up.
Yeah.
And my only two potential theories as to why it's taken so long to grow. The first one I said to you is it's probably been having trouble finding food.
Yeah.
And now Dustin's here happily giving it everything he has.
Yeah, yeah.
The other one I just had is that maybe that's just how they naturally grow. Slow through the first year and then suddenly speed up.
Yeah, my only two kind of theories on it, I suppose, are it's just the way that Vecna / the Mind Flayer has wanted it to be. Maybe, you know, because at the end of the day, it's a hive mind, isn't it? So
it is.
It might be something to do with that.
Maybe. I don't think he has that much control over the creatures of the world, though. He definitely manipulates them mentally, but I don't think he can really stunt their development. He probably could.
Possibly not. Just, you know, just my theory of, because they are all so linked, you know.
Yeah.
But it could just be, you know, Dart needed some chocolate.
Yeah, exactly. That chocolate just sped it up like tenfold.
What is in the chocolate? That's the scary thing.
Yeah.
That has caused this catalyst.
That's it. What is it? The caffeine, the sugar?
Yeah.
Something in there has just absolutely slammed their foot down on the growth of Dart.
My American friends tell me that American chocolate isn't that nice. So yeah, maybe there's something in there that causes creatures of the Upside Down to grow.
Who on earth knows?
So obviously we've had this scene, we introduced a Dart, and then we actually then get a flashback of Hopper. I was going to say Hopper finding out, but really, she's watching him.
She reveals herself, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's it, another ego drop off from Hopper.
Yeah.
And then Elle, this time decides that she's finally going to reveal herself to him.
Yeah, and we've worked out from later on in the episode that she has been, in those words, she's been on her own for 28 days, which is a long time.
It's a long time. 28 days. That's
in the depth of winter.
Exactly. That's in the entirety of February, when you think about it.
Yeah, that is such a long time.
Yeah.
To be like, I couldn't camp in the woods probably one night. I'd be too frightened.
Well, that's it. Not only is she camping out in the woods, but it's also snowing. It's freezing cold.
Yeah, it is so cold. It's so... Oh, it's just horrible to think that she was there for, like, 28 days.
And who knows how long it took her to find that guy and steal his clothes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, she's already cooking squirrels at this point, so...
Absolutely. And if people are wondering how I've worked out 28 days, it's because later on in the episode, she mentions how many days her and Hopper have been together, and we obviously know that this is day 354 days away from Mike, because yesterday's episode was 353. So just did the maths.
Yeah.
28 days. But yeah, we both said she's very brave, because obviously Hopper's put the egos in and then he's walking away, which is probably his routine now. He's going back to his vehicle and then she approaches him.
Yeah.
And that must have took so much, because, you know, we know that Hopper's trying to help her, and her only experience of Hopper is very brief.
Yeah, very so brief far. Through the pool.
Yeah.
And then obviously she doesn't know, but obviously he has to rat her out to the lab, and that's that.
Yeah.
So there's nothing else. So that's it. For all else thinking is this could easily be a trap.
Yeah.
This could be to just lure her out and then he's going to take her back to the lab.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's like, I'm not saying that she has tried to tune in on Hopper at any point, but if she had maybe seen him previously leaving food, but she's been too frightened to like to follow him or something, she might have like zoned in on him and maybe even seen him go into the lab at some point, because you know.
Yeah.
So it's a big risk, and she is very brave, because even though I was going to say, even though she's safe to an extent, like, but she's not, and this is it, I suppose, like
the safety of not
how
have nobody knowing where she is.
Yes, that's what I mean. Thank you very much. She's got the safety at the moment of no one knowing where she is, but she is against the elements.
And she literally
must be starving and must be so tired. Well, that's it.
I mean,
cold.
How much his ego is going to help? I hope he's been leaving other things for her.
I think he does. But yeah, he. Because I remember, I'm sure at some point there's like a Tupperware or something, and then the egos as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think he is, but it's just not, it's not nice.
No, not nice at all. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm very glad she does get the bravery in her to reveal herself to him.
Yeah.
And that's it, by the seams, he straight away then takes her over to the cabin.
Yeah.
And that transitions us then into her being woken up by Hopper.
Yeah.
The day after their, not argument, but the day after Halloween.
Yes.
And, she's still not happy with him.
No, she's not talking to him at this point.
She's not talking to him. She wakes up and rolls over, completely ignoring him. And, his way of enticing her out of bed is pretty much the same. Right, well, I guess I'll have to have these two triple-decker ego extravaganzas all to myself. And, her little eyes just looking to the side like, oh.
It's honestly, that is such a cute moment. Her eyes widen with excitement. It kind of mirrors the way she looks when Mike says, you know, my mom can make you anything you want.
Echoes.
In season one. And she goes, yeah, echoes, and her eyes go wide with excitement. Yeah. It kind of mirrors that. And it also mirrors to me, like, it makes me think of Harry, our son. Like, you know, if he's, you need to distract him and you're like, do you want this, or do you want an oat bar, or something like something that he likes, or do you want a banana? And he's like, oh, banana.
You hold up an ice lolly.
Oh yeah, ice lolly, a popsicle to our American friends.
Although if you ask him, he will say it is very hot.
It's hot. It's not cold. It's hot. And he says it in the most posh voice as well, which is so funny.
Yeah.
Hot.
Hot.
So yeah, it's a really kind of endearing little moment before the shit hits the fan.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
And that's it. And she does join him at the breakfast table, but she's still very subdued.
She is. That, like you said, she's very much a prisoner. You know, as...
Yeah.
I can't remember if it goes straight into her. Yes, it pretty much does, doesn't it? Because
yeah, he notices the wire.
He notices the wire of the TV leading to a room, and he asks, you visited him again last night. So that's it. Yes, they've had this conversation before.
Yeah.
You know, he knows that she's keeping an eye on Mike. And I think she's clearly mentioned before how desperate Mike's getting.
Yeah.
And, he says he needs me.
And that is heartbreaking in itself.
It is.
Just as saying that. And then, to be fair to Hopper, I mean, he does then say, do you want me to check in on him?
Yeah. So he's not completely shutting it down.
Yeah.
It's, she shakes her head because she knows he can't help.
Yeah, that's it.
And
that's the thing. She knows that Hopper going to Mike asking if he's okay is making no difference. The only person that Mike wants to see is Elle.
Exactly.
And Elle knows that.
And Yeah, that's it. Hopper saying it's still too dangerous. You know, after losing his daughter, I get that he doesn't want anything out there to pose a risk to Elle. I get that side of it. But when he says, you're the last thing he needs right now, it's like, oh, Hopper.
Couldn't be more wrong if he tried.
Honestly, first of all, any Malevan fan wants to punch you in the throat for saying those words. But two, literally, you are dead wrong. Like, L is literally all Mike needs right now to fix him.
Yeah.
Completely, because that's it. He's, like I've rambled and ranted on previous episodes, he's literally crying out for help.
Yes.
And Elle is the only fix to that.
And that's the thing. Like, fast forward to the real Malevan reunion, Mike is almost fixed in seconds.
Literally instantly.
You like, see his you eyes see, just come back to life.
You see that big wall of
grief, almost. Grief.
That big wall of frustration. All of it. The second his eyes lay on her face, it all just crumbles.
Yeah.
Immediately. Like, it doesn't take even a second for the true Mike we all know and love to return. Straight away.
Yeah.
And that's it. Obviously, then his frustration has to come out on Hopper, but it's well deserved.
Yeah. And Hopper says to Elle in this moment, after he said that stupid line, he then does say, you will see him soon. And I do wonder, like, I know she's heard it a lot, which is what she says next, but I did believe Hopper there. I felt an almost, I don't know, like, I think he truly does believe that, but he's like, I just need to know you are safe. And so far, I do wonder, I could be wrong, but I do wonder if he's been waiting for it to be like a year.
Yeah, I since wonder. Since this has happened,
because they're so close to it now. And he just wants to check off that, right, it's been over a year now. There's been no sightings. There's been none of this. I can tick off all these boxes that can I can slowly bring Mike into the fold.
Yeah.
I do believe that.
Maybe. I think the main thing, if that was what his plan was, I think he needed to just let Elle know that plan.
Yeah, definitely. The communication's terrible.
His communication is absolutely abysmal. I think if he was planning for it to be a year, at least, then if he had told Elle that, she'd have a target.
Yeah.
She would have something to look forward to. But at the moment, you know, when she starts counting up the days, you say soon on day whatever it was.
Yeah.
You say soon on this day. You now say soon on day 326.
Yeah. She has had enough.
She's had enough, and that's it. And that's it. As she starts then going forward in the days, how long is soon? Day 300, 600?
700. 7,
8. She has no target.
Yeah.
So, like Hopper says, oh, you're counting the days now like a prisoner. She literally is a prisoner in that cabin, you know.
Well, like I said, like, prisoners get more communication than she does. They see more people than she does.
Yeah, prisoners have a release date. They know how long their sentence is.
But they have, like, cellmates. Yeah. You know, they have to see people and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
She is truly seeing no one.
She is literally locked up. She only has a TV, some records, I suppose, maybe radio, stuff like that. She literally has no human communication other than when Hopper's there.
Yeah, and except for weekends, Hopper's probably, what, home maybe 2 hours maximum a day?
Yeah, exactly, that's it.
Before she has to go to sleep and he has to go to sleep?
Yeah, exactly, that's it. It's just, it's horrible.
Yeah.
That, you know, from his point of view, you get it because he does not want to lose her.
Yeah.
At all. But from her point of view, she literally is a prisoner.
Yeah.
She's got nothing. And like you say later, the fact that the curtains are closed.
Yeah, it's
all that,
dark. There's it's no dark. Natural light.
She's getting absolutely nothing. Like, she's genuinely rotting away in this cabin.
Yeah, and honestly, like, very, very different situations. But, like, I'm very, very pregnant and our due date is quite soon.
Yeah.
But you never know when you're going to go into labour or anything like that unless it's a planned situation.
Yeah.
So you do kind of feel this feeling of when is soon.
Yeah.
You know, and an impatience and a not knowing what's happening with your future. And even like, I can even sympathize to like being stuck in the house for most of the week and things like that. And
yeah,
I can't imagine almost a year of that. And I'm not saying that he doesn't like let her outside near the cabin on the weekend, because we don't know. He probably does, because they built the traps together outside. It was safe enough for them to do that.
Yeah.
But even so, even if she has to be in the house Monday to Friday, and she's only allowed out on the weekend, that is absolute torture.
It's torture. Like, it's basically just permanent. That's why I find it so funny when he says, you're grounded. It's like, right, and she hasn't been for the last year?
Yeah, that literally makes no difference.
It's like, right, okay. Yeah, sure, that means no TV. Woo, one thing gone.
Yeah, and that's it. So her reaction in this scene, where she just flips the food and all that kind of stuff, is completely warranted. She's had enough.
She has had enough, and I cannot blame her at all. And
like her final words to Hopper before she does storm off are, I need to see him, and friends don't lie.
Yeah, that's it. And I'm sure Hopper absolutely loves Mike for that little saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. She needs to see Mike, and Mike needs to see her. That's it. It's illegal in the universe for them to be separated.
Yes, it is. So,
yeah, that's it. You want her to be happy. You want him to be happy. Just let them see each other, for God's sake, man.
But before we do move on from it, I do think you kind of hit the nail on the head with the communication. Because I think even if he could have said to her, say he was planning a year.
Yeah.
Like, that can't always be promised, because things could have happened.
Yeah.
I feel like he could have at least said to her, listen, like Elle, I'm thinking on the year mark, okay? But if anything is cropping up, if people are talking about you, if anything happens with the lab, then I'm sorry, but we're gonna have to extend it. Do you understand?
Yeah, that's it. Like I say, if she just had a target to look for. But that's exactly it. Target with terms.
Yeah.
So yeah, he would be like, listen, a year, I know it's long, I know it's gonna be hard, but a year of laying low.
Yeah.
And if nobody's mentioned you, if nobody's looking for you, then we can at least bring Mike in. And yeah, like you say, if anything does happen, if I see anyone looking for you, if anyone says anything about you, we have to hold off.
Yeah.
Because that's it. It's like, you know, when she says, when is soon, his answer to that is, when it's not dangerous. But
it's always going to be dangerous to an extent.
It's always going to be dangerous. Like, when is that ever going to change? Like, he's at the lab. Are they looking for her? Has anyone mentioned her at the lab? Because according to Sam, when he's talking to... Oh, who's he talking about? Oh, it's in the recording that Jonathan and Nancy get. I don't think they've done that yet, though, have they?
No, they haven't done that yet.
But no, Sam's words in that is something like, the old ones who caused Barbara's death, they're gone.
Yeah.
So if they're gone, surely nobody there is now looking for Elle.
Yeah.
They probably think she's dead. That's a lost cause.
That's
so
it.
So, well, that's if it. Anything, it's safe now.
Well, they do. I do think they think she's dead because of Sam's face when he does see her.
Yeah.
Like, he's in absolute shock.
He is in shock and probably a bit of awe.
Yeah.
Because who knows, has Sam ever met her in his life before?
No, I don't think he has. Just would have heard of her. But I get, like, from Hopper's perspective, he would be saying things like, but if there's these reports of a Russian girl, there's a girl that's doing strange things, there's a girl with mind powers, then the lab might start picking up on these rumours if they gain weight. And we'll start looking for you. So that would make the deadline change, you know?
Yes, yes, I suppose. But then those reports of her and all that was before he found her in... Well, that, no, she revealed herself in the woods.
But what I mean is if there was new reports.
But why would there be if she's locked away in a cabin? Nothing's going to really reopen old cases.
I just mean if he had communicated those things to her, maybe she wouldn't have gone and what she does later in this episode.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly, I agree. But that's it, there wouldn't have been reports until the swing incident later on.
Yeah.
So I feel like the fact that there's been no reports, the fact that nobody's really mentioning her at this point, it's like...
It was already safe in your mind.
It should be safe now, yeah. I don't see what he sees in this still being dangerous other than just that selfish, again, with reason, but selfish want to just keep her locked away, fully safe against the world because he doesn't want to lose her.
I
think it's safe now. If it's still dangerous now in your mind, it's never going to be safe. There was never...
Yeah.
You were never going to let her out, and that's just not going to work.
No. I know, because it must be like almost like a weird formation of his own grief that he's kind of pressing on to Elle, you know?
Well, yeah, that's it. He just obviously...
Keeping a daughter safe.
Yeah, that's it. He obviously lost Sarah.
Yeah.
And so he's literally keeping her locked up where he knows nothing can get to her. It's his grief, like you say, being pushed onto Elle now.
Yeah.
And it's not fair on her.
No, it's not. And but obviously, you know, as time will tell, he will have an awakening to all of that. And, but I just remember, I do remember the first time watching this, how frustrated I felt for her. Because I remember in that first episode of season 2, I was like, yay, she's free, she's alive. And then, you know, season two starts, and I'm like, yes, she got out of the upside down, brilliant. And she's with Hopper, and then I soon was like, oh, but she's still just a stuck.
Yeah, exactly. She literally is still trapped there.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's it. So it's really tough.
It is.
Really tough situation.
And that's it. I mean, everyone goes mad at Mike. I'm failing here in the season 3 talk.
You are.
But everyone goes mad at Mike for the way that he says himself, I just wanted you all to myself.
Yeah.
Hopper's doing exactly that right now.
Yeah, at least Mike's honest about that when they talk.
That's it. At least, like we say, Mike, again, has a bit of a reason for that.
Yeah.
Hopper, sure, has a reason for it. But Hopper's literally doing the same thing right now. Like, yeah. And nobody bats an eyelid at Hopper.
Yeah.
It's like I say, this just wasn't going to work. If it's not safe now, then it's never going to be safe.
No, exactly. But I think we should move on from this, because I think we've been talking about it for almost half an hour.
Nearly. 28 minutes in.
So, the next scene is quite a short one, but a funny one. It's Dustin getting all the books he possibly can from the library.
He needs his paddles.
He needs his paddles! He's so funny. Like, he's already got 5 books out, and she's like, no, you are not getting another 5 books. Yeah. And he's like, what the hell is that?
I'm off.
That's it, because he's determined to find out what Dart is. I think at this point he's thinking, he probably already knows, he's a smart boy. I think he knows that this is like an unknown creature.
Well, that's what the books are for. He's just making sure that it is an unknown creature.
But I feel like he already knows, and that's what his like excitement and breaking of the rules really is. He's like, I'm onto something.
He's looking at this thing, and he's from what he knows of polywogs and all that, he knows it doesn't really match any of the descriptions out there.
No.
So he's grabbing these books just to have a flick through them and make sure that this isn't something he's just never heard of before.
Yeah.
And then, see later when he's trying to reveal it to Mr. Clark.
Yeah.
He very much has discovered a new species. Well, I mean, he has. It's a Demogorgon.
Yeah, and he's not sharing that with anyone.
Nope.
And that's it. He, obviously, as he's running out of the library, committing his crimes, stealing, taking those 5 books.
Yeah.
We've got Will being taken to school by Bob. And
yes,
that's a very interesting scene.
It is. And another bit of trivia. I might not remember that. I should have researched this before talking about it. But I'm sure I heard a bit of behind the scenes talk, like
of the original plan.
So akin to how Steve was meant to be 10 times worse,
yes,
originally in season one. I'm sure their original plan here was that Will had already sort of been possessed. And something snaps in him in during this car ride, and he's, I don't know if he was supposed to kill Bob, or he was at least supposed to start strangling him.
I've definitely heard that Will is meant to strangle Bob.
Yeah.
Definitely. If it's to death or not, I'm not sure, but yeah, I had also heard that.
Yeah, and I'm sure that was supposed to be in this car ride.
Yeah, it would make sense, because in this car ride, Bob is basically trying to help, although I do like how they have the creepy music playing, so we're not sure.
Is
Bob trying to help? Is he not? But obviously, we know from the perspective of season two that he is trying to help. He's telling him about Mr. Baldo, the scary clown that he dreamt about for numerous weeks and that terrorized him. And the thought behind what Bob is saying is right. You know, it's the whole, the concept is, you know, it's about facing your fear and not letting it have power over you.
Exactly.
And to an extent, a very small extent, that is true with the likes of Vecna. That is true. You know, but, you know, like how Max tries to hide in happy memories.
Yeah.
But obviously, he finds just it, right? Like
and he just Vecna, plagues those memories instead.
Yeah, just like Vecna, the Mind Flayer is incredibly powerful. So even though it's a great concept and it is a good life lesson about facing your fears,
yeah,
spoiler alert, it's not going to work very well.
It's not quite going to work unless I definitely think they wanted people to wonder if he meant to get Will caught.
I know, especially with the final scenes of this episode, exactly, which we'll obviously go into.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, yeah, it's, yeah, we will discuss that very soon.
Yes.
That's it. A lot of things are going on at the same time. So, obviously, Justin has just run from the library.
Yeah.
He's going to be late for school. Will has just got dropped off now. And while he's been dropped off, Max is walking down the corridor with Lucas in the school and asking, why is he called Zombie Boy? And, you know, Lucas is explaining the situation and, you know, how there's a funeral and all sorts of stuff. And we get Will's perspective as he walks through the school and students stare at him. And I had kind of noted down that we don't see, like, his peers, like the ones that are the same age as him. We don't see them bullying him. We see them scared of him. And I'm not sure, in a way, what's worse for him. They're all just scared of him. They just stare silently as he walks past.
Well, I don't know if they're scared of him, but he stands out.
Yeah.
Because he literally pretty much is the boy who died and then returned a week later.
Yeah. But even like Max, like, she's just watching him, almost creeped out in the class. And he can kind of feel her eyes on him and he looks. And I do feel for him there because he knows that everyone's talking about him. Everyone's thinking he's a freak and all this kind of stuff. And yeah, it's just, it's hard. It's a hard watch.
Yeah. And that's it. It's weird how, us, with America being such a religious country, Will could just turn around and say, yeah, I'm the second coming of Jesus.
Yeah. Like, yeah, maybe if he'd played it that way, then he'd be like, oh my God, he's risen again.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you could turn it around in your favour, I'm sure.
Yeah. And obviously, while that's all happening, we have got Hopper. He's starts in the police station. And the other police officers are saying, yeah, we've checked out this pumpkin patch, this one, and it seems to be all infected. And he's getting paranoid, isn't he?
He is.
He draws a circle around the infected areas.
Well, that's it. As he's drawn crosses on every patch that's infected, he notices, they all seem to be circling around the lab.
Yes.
And so, he starts drawing circles around each of the infected areas and indeed pretty much just zones back on the lab.
Yeah. And that kind of, that leads to a scene where he does go to Hawkins' lab.
Yes.
And goes and speaks with Sam. And he's incredibly frustrated, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Because he's dead set on it being their fault now. And as we know, it, I mean, kind of is.
Yeah.
And that's it. He's pretty much just saying, listen, I keep all of your crap quiet.
Yeah.
You keep your crap out of my town.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm doing my end of the deal. Then you do your end of the deal.
Yeah, because he says to Sam, he's like, you know, is there a leak? And Sam says, it's contained. And that's not necessarily true, Sam.
No. And I mean,
I wonder if you believe that, but...
Well, that's it. I do wonder if he believes it's contained. Do they know how much it's spreading?
But I do honestly think, in fairness to Sam, I don't think he realises that the pumpkin patches at this point, like the infected land, has got anything to do with the lab slash the gate.
Well, that's it. I don't...
Because he's quite shocked when they later test the soil.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. I mean, to be honest, they take the soil in the jars, don't they, and test it like that. I mean, he's playing it off well in the pumpkin patches at the moment.
Yeah. I think he's just like, oh, you are over-exaggerating, Hop, and I'm looking forward to proving you wrong kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's it. When they get to the pumpkin patches, as I say, he's not shocked or being like, oh, okay, maybe it is spreading.
Yeah.
He plays it off very well while they're there, at least.
Yeah, yeah. And that's it. And again, this is one of those episodes where it's not any kind of filler episode. Because we've got so much going on, because after these scenes, we've got Elle back at the cabin and we get like a flashback whilst... I'm trying to think what the word is. So we've got a flashback playing, but also her kind of current day situation.
It's a bit of a...
It's like a montage of them.
It's basically flicking between back then and now.
Yeah. And the flashback, you know, is Hopper taking her to the cabin, saying it's going to be her new home, them doing it up. It's a lovely flashback, this one. And, you know, we've got the absolutely iconic, the famous Hopper dance that sailed 1,000 gifts to You Don't Mess Around With Jim. And I had noted, hadn't I, that Elle's face while she watches him dance is, you can tell in that moment she has nothing to fear from Hopper except dad dancing.
Yeah, exactly. That's a funny way to put it.
Yeah, it's just such a wholesome kind of scene, because even like the little things, isn't it? Like her sweeping the floors.
The way she copies him kicking the snow off her feet.
Yeah, and him teaching her Morse code.
Yeah.
And when she sits down on like the mattress of the bed and has that little smile, like she's got a bedroom.
Yeah, that's it. It shows the start of their little happy duo family.
Yeah.
And that's it. Other than the fact that she's locked up and never going to get out, it is nice that she's got a home.
Yeah.
With someone who truly sees her as his own daughter.
Yeah. And it was nice to see, because obviously we're seeing her frustrated now, which is understandable, but it was nice to see how it kind of originated.
Yeah.
And I said, didn't I? I don't see how this would fit into season 5. I feel like it would have been more... But it could have been used in season 4, but
if she hadn't moved away with the buyers, yeah.
Potentially so, but even it might still have worked in California or on their way back to Hawkins. But I would have liked to have seen a scene where the survival skills that Hopper's teaching her in this flashback, like she'd used some of them in season 4 or potentially in season 5, just to show that she's listening and that she shared these kind of like skills with him.
I mean, there is a moment in season 4 where they've gone back to the cabin.
Yeah.
So who knows, they might be setting up base camp there.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, you would love to see a scene of Elle setting up traps like that, Mike with her, and sees her doing that, and he's like, well, where did you learn all this?
Yeah. I was gonna say her being like, from Hop, but then I could also see, like, I could hear his voice in the background being like, from me, kid. Something like that.
Oh, yeah, like, who'd you think, kid?
Yeah. And yeah. I really like the idea of that kind of father-child situation where he's taught her something and you then see her doing it. I just think it would have been a sweet little like moment kind of thing.
A sweet little nod to, yeah, everything that he's done for her.
And that she was listening during those survival skills, and that, you know, that they did, you know, mean something to her. And yeah. Obviously, that flashback leads him to the don't be stupid rules.
Yes.
That he sets out for her. But she's had enough, hasn't she?
She's had enough. She's not stupid. And she's heading out.
Yeah. She's off. She happily stands over the traps that she knows where they are. She's off.
Yep. And yet again, I don't blame her at all.
No, not at all. And then we go to a scene now, which... Oh, I have a lot to think about this scene. So it starts out with Billy and Steve and the rest of the high school, some of the high school boys playing basketball.
Yes.
And, you know, Billy's there dominating the scene, as we all expect him to be.
Yep.
And Nancy pulls Steve from the basketball game, and they have an argument. It's not really an argument.
It's not really,
but they
have
their dispute.
They have their little dispute of Steve being like, right, well, did you mean any of that then when you were drunk? You think just because you were drunk, it just immediately erases everything you said?
Yeah.
It's because, like, no, it doesn't, Nancy.
No, and like, Nancy doesn't seem to have remembered a lot at all.
She's saying she doesn't anyway.
Yeah, to the point where she thought Steve took her home.
Yeah.
And he says, oh no, that was your other boyfriend, Jonathan, that took you home. And honestly, at first when he says that, I remember thinking like, oh, someone at the party must have said to him, oh, Jonathan took Nancy home. But then we later have Nancy and Jonathan having lunch together on the car, and they're talking about it, and Jonathan says that Steve asked him to take her home. And the way I kind of imagine that scene in my head is that Steve is storming out,
yeah,
passes Jonathan and says to him, like, oh, Jonathan, like, have you had a drink? Because he probably knows he's not going to have done.
Yeah.
And Jonathan's like, no. And he's like, can you do me a favour, please? Can you take Nancy home?
Like, yeah.
And Jonathan's obviously going to have been like, of course. Like,
yeah, exactly. That's it. Even if they're not really talking much, he's... Yeah.
They've got a bit of a bond because they've of got what happened
shared
at the end
trauma.
Of season one. Yeah, they've got that good old shared trauma. And that's it. Like, that scene with Steve and Nancy, like, you know, he says, well, tell me you love me then, and she doesn't. And yes, she does get interrupted by the guy telling him to come and play basketball, but if you loved someone, you would say it immediately.
You would, 100%. You'd immediately say that, and she just doesn't.
Yeah.
She just stares at her like, I can't.
Yeah. And he says, I think you're bull, you know what.
Yeah.
And walks off. And, oh, I just...
You were wondering, is that really a breakup?
Is that really a breakup? Is that an argument?
Yeah.
Or is that a breakup? Because it just bothers me a bit, people, that, you know, her and Jonathan, we all know, do the deed later on. And
yeah.
I'm like...
So, I'm in two places. Because, yeah, neither of them officially say that they're broken up at this point. So I don't agree with Nancy letting anything happen with Jonathan.
Yeah.
At all. But at the same time, I think it's very obvious that they really have to be broken up at that point.
Yeah.
From that conversation, they're not going to turn around to that conversation and be like, oh yeah, we're still together.
Yeah.
I think it's very obvious they are broken up, but you're still... Yeah. You need that official word before you then go banging someone else.
Yeah, banging someone else. God. And that's the thing, like, I do feel sorry for Steve. I do, because...
I do.
Like, it's almost like she's already over it, because she's moved on to the next cause, which is the lab need to pay.
Yeah, that's it. And that's Nancy's... Well, I went to say that's Nancy's problem. It's not really a problem.
No,
in the right mind in that sense.
She can't rest until Barb is
avenged. But in the relationship topic, I'm fully on Steve's side here.
Yes.
Like, listen, Nancy, if you love him, say that. if you don't, say that.
Yeah, like, and just let him go.
Put him out of his misery. It's, and I mean, my God, it continues into season four.
I know, which is crazy.
It's honestly, just bloody pick one.
Yeah.
Either pick one or...
Just don't be with either.
Yeah, pick one or neither, because I don't think these guys would be happy with a freeway.
No. But it's not fair on anyone in the situation either, so...
No.
Yeah, it's not right.
That's it. It's not fair on either of the guys, and let's be honest, it's not fair on you either. So
yeah.
Just pick one or pick none.
Yeah. So the next scene, we do go back into the whole situation of Dart with the party. So Dustin's gathered the party together, including Max, which Mike is not massively keen on, as we know.
Yeah.
So they're all hidden away. I think is it the AV club room?
But Max is locked out.
No, not yet.
No.
No, she's locked out later when they realise it's right. An upside down.
That's
teacher.
Right.
So no, at this point they're all in the room, which I think is the AV club.
Yeah, it is.
And obviously Dart is. I was just about to say Dart is explaining himself.
Yes.
How he got there, what he's doing there, how amazing the chocolate was, and now suddenly, you know, he's coming to life.
I pledge my life to you, Dustin man. You feed me. I protect you.
He's very, very British old man. He's like Winston Churchill.
Oh dear.
No, Dustin is explaining his finding and he's obviously incredibly excited.
Yes.
And, you know, they're all looking at him. They're all not as impressed with Dart as Dustin is.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're trying to find out where he's come from.
Oh, the behind the scenes of it just being a silver ball in their hands rather than their slimy slug.
Yeah. And that's it. And obviously, as he's kind of getting passed around and they're hearing his noises, that seems to trigger something, doesn't it, for Will?
Yeah, that's it. He flashes back to the noises he's been hearing in his little, he thinks flashbacks, but his now memories.
Yeah. And we do see the scene from season one of him vomiting up a slug.
Yeah, as he's looking at Dart closely.
Yeah.
He does sort of, exactly remember throwing it up. And that's, again, why I think it is the same slug.
Yeah, I agree. But as I say, it still baffles me how he barely grew at all in a year and then suddenly, boom.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those.
Well, I've said my 2.50 pences.
Yeah. Well, we then move on to the next scene, which is Bob and Joyce having their lunch together, which is, again, another cute scene. They are always so adorable together.
Yeah.
I don't think Bob ever doesn't take a minute to tell her how much he appreciates her.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I can't remember if it's an hour later on where he's saying that he thinks he's truly starting to click with the boys.
It is now, yeah.
Especially Will. But he's saying, like, you know, he really likes Joyce, but not only her, but her family, everything that comes with her.
Yeah,
the boys as well.
So which, amazing.
Again, he's literally perfect for her.
Absolutely. And do you know what? I know we've already had the scene in the car with Will, and he's quite quiet, but that's only really because of the subject which Bob is approaching, which is about, you know, him having nightmares and things like that.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to be quiet. But I do actually genuinely think Will does like Bob.
He does, and I mean, he takes his advice later on. Doesn't help, but he at least...
doesn't help.
He at least gives it a go.
It does, but also, I just think he knows that Bob is no threat whatsoever.
I think they both know that. You know, I think Jonathan knows that as well, but maybe Jonathan's a bit more hesitant because he's obviously had to put up with Lonnie for longer.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They both know that Bob is the opposite of a Lonnie character. And Jonathan's probably just like, I'm going to let you date my mum. I'm happy with you dating my mum. You're making it happy, but I don't need a father figure.
Yeah.
I'm going off to college soon, this and this and that.
Exactly, that's it. We've put up with life without a male figure in this house for so long. I've always been the male figure of the house.
Yeah. That's and now you're, as well, yeah.
Yeah, and now you're coming along. He's probably a bit hesitant to let him in. Until, yeah, he starts to realise that he makes his mum happy.
Yeah.
She deserves that. Definitely. So, let him in.
Yeah, and I don't think Jonathan has much of a problem with him. But you're right. I do think, yeah, Jonathan's had to be the man of the house. So he's got tighter reins to let go of than Will does.
Yeah.
Will probably could still benefit for a couple of years from a nice male father figure kind of role, you know.
Well, that's it. You know, Will's 13.
Yeah, he still could have a good few years of a really nice father in his life.
Yeah, exactly. And that's... And to show that not all men have to be this tough, don't care about anyone all in the world.
You can show person. Your feelings,
you
yeah.
You can show your feelings. You can date a person like Joyce Byers.
Yeah.
And there'd be nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And do you know what? I've got to say, like, Will's sexuality, you just know Bob wouldn't have had a problem with that.
I wouldn't be surprised if Bob knows.
Yeah, Bob can probably
see it, to be honest. Like,
yeah. But I just think, again, like, compared to a Lonnie, where he'd probably almost kill Will himself.
Well, yeah, I mean, according to Joyce, he was calling Will a fag all the time, so yeah. There's that. I
don't like that word, but yeah.
Well, no, neither do I, but, that, you know, that's what
you're quoting from the show, yeah.
That's what Joyce says. So, you know, we already know Lonnie's like that. But, yeah, exactly like you said, whether Bob knows or not, I feel like Bob is a character who would know.
Yeah.
But even if he didn't, he'd just be like, okay, and?
Yeah, and you love who you love, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
He would just protect him, you know, he would. And, again, it's just another... Such a shame about Bob.
It really is. It's absolutely horrible that
it is.
Benny then Bob have to go the way they go.
Yeah, and Barb, they love their bees, don't they?
They do.
They love killing off their bees. But obviously in that scene, quite an important thing is that Bob mentions that on the video camera footage, first of all, that some teenage boys are bullying Will. And that there's some sort of static on it and things like that, which he doesn't mind at all.
Well, but he's just bringing it. He says he noticed that the camera is dinged up a bit.
Yeah.
So it's very clearly been dropped.
Yes.
And he watched it back because of that, and he noticed, yeah, these boys bullying Will.
Yeah. And, of course, Joyce then wants to watch the video footage, which starts off amusing because she's like me in this scene. She doesn't have a clue what she's doing with the technology, and she rings Bob. And he totally reminds me of you in this scene, where you just talk in your technical language, and it's like, what? Speak English, please.
I mean, be honest, I think you would be able to plug a camera into a TV.
Well, yeah, I could do that, but it's when he says things like, oh, that's because of the VCHC.
Oh, right, okay, yeah, where she starts saying that it's as if it's been shrunk.
Yeah,
he's like, yeah, well, it's a VHSC. It is tiny. It's supposed to go into the camera.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's it. They.
It's the technical terms. I'd be like, what?
Yeah, and I'd then, be like, yeah, you just need to take the coaxial cable between the camera and the TV.
I'd be like, the what? What colour?
The who, the what?
Right. So, yeah, okay. So it does start out like that.
The yellow, white and red.
There we go. See, that's all I needed. And obviously, Joyce does manage it. And she sees the bullies. And obviously, she's not happy about that, of course.
No.
But very, very quickly, she notices something on that camera.
Yeah, there is a very staticky outline of a certain entity looming over the town.
Yeah.
I just find it really interesting that the camera picks this up.
Yeah.
Because obviously Will does not have powers.
No.
I mean, I suppose technically he does right now.
Well, yeah, I suppose, yeah, in the moment he does. What's happening to him.
Yeah, exactly. I just, yeah, find it very interesting that the camera gets any sort of little flickering of footage of that.
Yeah, of the upside down, yeah.
Yeah.
And for me, what I find interesting in that moment is how Joyce immediately runs for the tracing paper and then to draw it, because it's like she's been waiting for this. It's like she's been on eggshells and waiting for the penny to drop kind of thing. She is like, she has known, she's had that mother's instinct that something is not right, and she's just been waiting any second for this situation. Yeah,
exactly. And that's it. You know, when she first saw that drawing of the mind flare, she was not happy at all when she saw that.
No.
Because, you know, she very much interrogated Will, being like, is this of what you've been seeing and all of that?
Yeah.
And obviously, Will's just fed up of having to talk about it. Yeah. So,
but I think she most lets parents would know when your child's lying to you.
Yeah, exactly. So she, knowing that he's lying but not going to let anything out, she gives up that sense.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, the second she sees that outline, she immediately knows what it is.
Yeah.
And she just has to go and trace it just to get that confirmation. Yeah. Just to compare between what the TV is showing and what Will has drawn. And it's a very striking resemblance, if I do say so myself.
It is. And, yeah, it just, as I say, shows that she's been waiting for this any minute, any second.
Exactly. You can see in her face, it's like a realisation of, yeah, I was right.
Yeah.
This, you know, this isn't the end. This isn't PTSD or whatever, because...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, well, she might think it's still PTSD, but either way, she now knows for sure that it has to be real.
Yeah. If,
where am I saying it could still be PTSD? No, it wouldn't show up on a camera if it was PTSD. What am I saying? No, that's it. So this is her realising, no, it's not PTSD, it's not flashbacks, because how on earth would a camera pick that up?
Yeah, exactly.
So if the camera's picking it up,
yeah,
it has to be real.
Yeah, and... the thing is with Joyce as well, is her instinct, her gut has always been right.
Yes, exactly, and that's it. This is pretty much just ticking the box, telling her, yeah, you're right, there's this new thing, and Will's seeing it.
Yeah, definitely. And Will then actually tells Mike about Dart. You know, all those thoughts have come to him, and he's like, listen, he said about the episodes he's been having, and... you know, what he's seeing in the Upside Down. And that causes Mike to stop Dustin from explaining his new discovery to Mr. Clark, who, you know, he has to ensure that Mr. Clark knows this is Dustin's discovery.
He owns all the copyrights on this.
He owns all the copyrights. But before poor Mr. Clark even gets a look in, Mike snatches up the, the proton... pack kind of
basically the ghost trap,
and runs off with it and says it was a joke and all this stuff.
It's very much a reverse of the season one moment where Mike's talking to his mother on the phone and Dustin bursts in saying, we have to leave now.
Yeah,
it is a pretty complete much. Flip of that. We need to go right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, it's at this point that Mike makes Max be locked out of the room because they are having an upside down talk, and he doesn't obviously want her to be involved in that.
Yeah,
but she is making her way to breaking because she wants to know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
And that's it. And the boys, obviously, they argue over Dart's future, because it is interesting, isn't it, that the boys say we should take him or whatever to Hopper.
Yes.
So it,
and they are all in agreement about this, except for Dustin.
Yeah, and it does make me think that, yeah, at what point there must have been like a meet up with Hopper where he has been like, listen, like, this is the situation, you know, like, we don't talk about what happened, they won't come after you, but on another note, if anything comes up, anything suspicious whatsoever, you come to me.
Yeah.
You know? So that must have been their conversation of that at some point in the year.
Yeah, exactly. And that's it. They're all, as I say, all of them except for Dustin, in agreement that this thing needs to go to Hopper, because Dustin's like, no, he's just going to kill him.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously, they let Dart out of the trap and he sprouts legs.
Yeah,
he starts to evolve right in front of them, and that's it. I said to you, I love this. There's a little small bit of the scene where Mike, I don't know what he's holding up, is it a lamp?
It is a lamp, yeah.
He's holding, he loves his lights, doesn't he? Candlesticks, lamps.
At least in this scenario, it's small enough to actually kill the thing.
Possibly. He's holding up the lamp and, you know, Justin says, do not hurt him. And he says, only if it attacks. Only if it attacks. Now, Dart doesn't attack him, but what he does do is almost do like a growl kind of thing.
It's a growl, essentially.
He opens his mouth very wide and growls at Mike. And I said, like, in my opinion, the reason Mike goes to smack him is because he's representing the Upside Down. He's representing what Mike has lost.
Yeah, well, that's it. I don't know if they know it's a Demogorgon at this point.
No, they don't. But I don't think they do.
They know it's from the Upside Down. Yeah. They've settled on that fact. And yeah, when it growls at him, you could imagine in Mike's head,
yeah,
he just flashes back to the Demogorgon,
yeah,
doing that same growl.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you can imagine in his head, you put it perfectly while we were watching it, it's like he's thinking, you are a Demogorgon or something, or that's the same kind of growl. You're one of them. You are the reason I've lost Elle.
Yeah.
I am going to absolutely smash you.
Yeah,
this thing.
And goes to take it out on Dart, but Dart is either Mike Sabre's terrible or Dart is slippery.
I mean, Dustin also stops him.
Oh yes, yeah.
As well, but yeah. Either one, I don't know. I mean, to be fair, with that amount of rage and anger built into Mike right now, I think he absolutely would have crushed him.
Yeah, yeah.
If Dustin wasn't there to stop him.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dustin stops him and off he runs.
Off he runs just
and
as Max opens
the door.
Of course,
that's just the moment that Max gets that door open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And off Dart goes.
Yeah.
And while all of this drama is happening, we've got our little Elle who has left the cabin. She's come through the woods and the first thing she has really seen, the first people she's seen, is a mother pushing their child.
Yeah.
And this prompts another flashback, a really heartbreaking flashback, to Hopper reading to her in bed, which I've got to say, that alone I find really endearing and sweet.
It's the same story he's reading to his daughter.
Yeah, is it Anne of Green Gables?
I believe so.
Yeah. I just love the fact that she's like tucked up in bed with the teddy and he's reading to her. I think is a really lovely moment. It's like a really innocent moment.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's so heartbreaking because she's listening to what he says and she asks if she has a mother and he's like,
Of course we all do. Yeah, you couldn't exist if you didn't have a mother.
Exactly. And she's like, well, where is she then?
Yeah, and I think Hopper realises then.
Yeah.
He's like, right, well, I can't tell her what's happened. So he just goes with she's dead.
She's gone. And this is my question to you, to us both really. Do we think that's right?
It's a hard topic.
It's really hard.
The thing is, as far as Hopper's concerned, mentally, Terry is gone.
Yeah.
Terry's literally a shell with no brain activity.
She can't be the mother that Elle would be dreaming of.
Exactly. And I think probably in Hopper's head, he probably thinks Terry is dead on the mentality side of things.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think, yeah, that's probably the easiest way to do things, to save her that extra heartache of knowing that her body's alive.
Yeah.
But she's either dead on the brain or just locked away.
Yeah.
And there's nothing they can do to help her.
It's difficult because he's going to hurt her either way.
Yeah.
But I think... To be fair, actually, I was just about to say, if he explained to her what the lab had done to her mum, she would be like, it would destroy her, what they'd done. And he'd be worried she's at risk of leaving and all that kind of stuff. But no one actually knows until Elle goes into Terry's memory. No one actually knows what the lab did do to her. They all thought it was the drugs that made her go that way, including her sister.
Her sister does not
know what they did to her.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, so yeah, that's a very good point. Hopper doesn't realise it. I mean,
so he probably
has a suspicion.
Oh, I'm sure he does. Especially now.
Yeah.
But the only thing he knows is that, you know, she was experimenting with all these drugs. So he doesn't want to be like, oh, your mum was experimenting with all these drugs and now, you know, she's completely lost it and all this kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I think he knows it's much easier to just say she's gone. And I think it probably would... Yeah, well, yeah, it would be easier on Elle.
Yeah.
To just, like a bandage, just rip it off all in one go.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's gone.
The only thing that makes me a bit like, about this is that if he was ever planning on letting her be safe and letting her out and things like that, he is cutting her off from another family member there who is not gone, which is her auntie. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, I mean,
Becky, you know, that's her actual flesh and blood.
Yes, and I mean, on that side, Becky doesn't know that Elle exists.
No, no.
You know, Becky's fully believing in the miscarriage.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
And that's it. I know there's no emotional link whatsoever at the moment, but that is, you know, did into my mind that he's cutting her off from flesh and blood family there.
Yeah.
That could, someone who could tell her about her mother, tell her about her father, what they were like, tell her about her grandparents, you know, like all this kind of
exactly,
stuff.
Exactly, yeah.
Cutting her off from her actual true heritage. So it's one of those, but I'm not angry at Hopper at this point for saying that she's gone. I do get it.
I think if I were in that position, I probably would have done the same.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's hard, because you've got to think in the minute, haven't you?
Exactly. How do you explain all of that to a 12-year-old girl?
Yeah, and I get it, because like you said, like ripping off a Band-Aid, like he's going to hurt her either way. So that way it's like, ripped off, I'm so sorry I've hurt you, now let's kind of move forward.
Yeah, exactly.
But if he explained how she is now, I think she'd have a lot more questions.
Yeah, exactly. Cause
as to like, how she happened to be that
exactly, because you could nearly imagine it as he's saying it. Yes, she's alive. Big hope build up, thinking, oh, I have a mother and she's alive.
Yeah.
But
she's like this.
She's
this,
a vegetable.
This. And then Elle would be like, why is she like that? Where does she live? Who does she like?
Can we see her?
Yeah.
Elle, even
maybe
though
I
she's,
could fix her, you know.
Yeah, that's it. She'd be dead set on trying to fix her.
Yeah.
And obviously Hopper doesn't want to go in anywhere. So.
And you know what? I've got to say, I do wonder if, to an extent, she could fix her. And maybe not because it's been so, so, so long. But just the fact that she kind of brought Max back to life.
Well, this is the thing.
Makes me wonder.
So,
does make me have a little wonder.
With Max, she obviously restarted Max's heart.
Yeah.
But she's in a coma.
Yeah.
With Terry,
first of all, it's been a long time. Second of all, it's her brain.
Yeah, that's it. She's got permanent brain damage.
Yeah, yeah.
She's still there in the background because, you know, when Elle does go to visit her later, well, not longer now, really, is
no,
it?
No, not too long.
Either way, yeah, when Elle's there and Elle sees her in the void, she acknowledges her.
Yeah.
So, and by she, sorry, her mother acknowledges Elle there, or Jane is there. So she's clearly able to respond to things going on in the void.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. I think Terry's not paying attention with her eyes in the real world.
No.
But I think she's there in void space.
Yeah.
At least to an extent. She can't properly communicate fully.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's able to acknowledge Elle's there. She grabs Elle's arm later on.
Yeah.
And then shows her the dream circle thing. So she's not completely gone, but she's pretty much gone.
Yeah. There's still a connection there to her daughter.
Yeah. And I really, really hope they feature her in season 5.
Oh, God. I'll actually be angry if they don't.
Yeah.
I will be angry.
I don't know how.
I feel like it's a loose end that needs to be.
It really
sorted.
Is a loose end. And yeah, I mean, half of me for a second was wondering if she and Max can maybe meet in void space or something like that.
Maybe.
Maybe Terry's the one who helps her out.
Never know. And that's it. Like, as Elle comes out of that kind of flashback moment, there is a mother there who's like trying to help her, and you know, but Elle just needs to get going. So she uses her powers on the swing, which ends up being a catalyst to something.
Well, this is it. I mean, how else was Elle going to get away from there? Because she's asking where the school is, which is an odd thing for a girl her age to be asking. Yeah. Like, she should know. You know, where are your parents and all that? How was Elle going to get out of that other than distracting her?
I know.
But either way, not helpful, because that's. There's now another police report of a girl with psionic abilities.
Yeah, because that's it. All Elle needed to really say was like, I'm fine. Or, I'm fine, thank you, or whatever. And then walk off.
Sorry, I got lost.
Yeah. Would have raised suspicion, but not as much as suspicion of what she did.
Yeah, would have raised suspicion. She'd probably be like, well, if you're lost, let me help you.
Yeah.
And, you know, Elle can't risk that.
No, she can't. And, yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? But, yeah,
it is so difficult, because that's it in the later on argument between Elle and Hopper, where she's saying, nobody saw me. He does say, oh, well, that mother and child saw you and they contacted the police.
Yeah.
So that adds fuel to the fire.
Yeah, and to be honest, I may as well go on to that bit, that small section really, because it fits obviously so perfectly in there, which is when Hopper is with Sam. They've just looked at one of the pumpkin patches. They've just took the samples. And Hopper gets his radio call from the other officers saying that they'd spoken to this mother we've just said about a girl, and maybe Murray saying about a Russian girl.
Well,
wasn't so crazy after all.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So I thought you were going to say maybe Murray comes reporting it again. No, yeah. He mentions Murray saying, you remember all those things Murray was saying about this Russian girl with psionic abilities? I'm starting to think maybe it wasn't so crazy after all.
Exactly.
Because they are now getting a likewise report.
Yeah.
From somebody else.
And this is it. Not just that, but we've got an up-to-date report of what Elle looks like. You know, we've gone from a bold child, you know, to suddenly, no, definitely a girl, 100% a girl, with curly brown hair. You know, those kinds of, like, we've got a bit more of an up-to-date.
Yeah, exactly. And sighting, like you were saying earlier, if the lab were to get wind of that, that's not going to help on the when it's safe.
No, terms. Exactly. It's not going to help at all. And that's it. Sam does look a bit suspicious when Hopper literally practically runs from the pumpkin site.
Yeah, like I was saying, Hopper wants to, he usually plays it off when everyone's like, oh, there was this Russian girl with psychic abilities or whatever.
He's panicked.
But right now he does not play it smooth at all. He's panicked.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as he hears that radio call, he knows that Elle has gone for walkabouts.
Yeah. I would have liked to have seen the scene of him speaking to the mother and questioning her.
Yeah.
What she'd seen, but obviously we didn't get that. But I mean, I know it wouldn't have been the most important, but I would have liked to have seen him, see if he tried to brush it off.
Yeah, him trying to keep his cool.
Yeah, it would have been interesting.
Well, you're clearly delusional, you just dreamt it, love.
Yeah. And obviously, while that's happening, Elle has reached the school.
Yeah, her face when she grabs that bike.
Mike's bike, yeah.
Yeah. That face of longing, memories, all of that.
Nostalgia, everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything, that's it. You can just see in her face, I think she shuts her eyes for a minute, like all those like memories coming back to her.
Yeah, just wishing that she could see him.
And it's like it gives her, like, as she like grasps the handlebars and stuff, like, it gives her like that extra determination of, he is here, I am seeing him.
Yeah.
You know, I've made it this far.
And it's just such a shame this doesn't work out.
It's a bit like cat and mouse. It like, really is. Through the school, you know, as the boys and Max are looking for Dart, Elle is looking for Mike.
Yeah, that's it. It starts off with him walking one way down a hallway.
Yeah.
And then she comes around the corner just missing him.
Just missing, constantly just missing, just missing.
Just missing. Oh, the perfect cinematography for a chase scene like this.
It's painful. It's painful.
And honestly, if anything, the gym scene is more painful.
Oh, hugely painful. Again, like, all because of that incredible acting, especially by Millie in this moment.
Yes.
But that's it. Like, Mike has gone to the gymnasium. He's seen the door in the corner for the locker rooms go. It made me laugh that he thinks that would be dark because it just looks like it's quite a heavy door. And then, yeah, he goes there. And I do remember the first time I ever saw this, thinking he was going to walk into L there or something.
I was really hoping.
It was wishful thinking, I know, but I did hope. But it's Max, she's looking for Dart, and her, and you know, she has it out with Mike a bit. She's like, you know, what is your problem with me? And he's like, we haven't got space for you in this party. And he backs and mentions L being their mage.
Yes.
And Max is immediately interested, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So, oh, who's L, you know?
Yeah, someone, no one.
Oh, that must have hurt him so much, saying no one.
I know.
Oh.
Like, that's it. It's horrible seeing the way he has to just dumb her down.
Yeah,
to just this girl who moved away.
You can see just his moody angst, pain, as he's talking about it and stuff. And it is interesting, really, because Max is like, I don't want to say the word, the word isn't desperate to join the party, but she's like, well, I could be your Zuma. And she's like going around on a skateboard trying to impress him, like almost like an audition for the party. Yeah. You know, it is interesting, really, because she started off the season by doesn't want to know, have anything to do with these boys. But I think it just shows that she has started to come round, especially to like Dustin and Lucas, and she's thinking, actually, these guys are quite cool.
Yeah,
they're quite harmless.
Yeah, I just need to fix my reputation with Mike.
Yeah, because for some reason he doesn't like me. Yeah. And that must be frustrating for her. That must be frustrating, not knowing why he doesn't like her.
Yeah, well, that's it. For all, she has no reason for Mike to hate her.
No.
So, yeah,
and it's going to be quite a stark contrast to go from two of the party members, Dustin and Lucas, being overly friendly and a bit crazy with her.
Yeah.
And then you've got one who's so moody with her.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's it. She's not going to have any idea why. So, yeah, that's it. It's like you say, she's pretty much trying to impress him, be like, come on, I'm cool.
Yeah, look how cool I am on my skateboard.
And that's it. She's trying to, you can sort of, it cuts away camera-wise from them now to Elle hearing them talking.
Yeah.
And you can hear Max in the background basically saying, well, why don't you have a go?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I don't know how. And I bet if I had a bit of practice, I could probably learn. But
yeah, she's like, see, I told you.
She's like, yeah, go on then, essentially. Yeah. But
she's goading him a bit. She probably wants to make him embarrass himself. And then, We have the devastating moment of Elle watching them, clearly thinking there's more going on than there is.
That's it. It zooms. Well, no, sorry. That's when she trips Max up.
Yeah.
But I said, why, in this particular moment, while Elle looks through the door, why is there a smile on your face now?
I know.
Like, you are so moody. You're hating this girl. You're rolling your eyes as she goes around you in circles, and of course when your girlfriend is looking through the door, there's a smile on your face. It's just plot convenience.
Just gotta blame the Suffer brothers for that one, I'm afraid.
And of course Elle, it's odd because Elle's obviously listening to every word he says, so she knows how much he's missing her.
Exactly,
The fact that she then just sees him with Max this one time and immediately becomes jealous, I feel like she should really know that Mike is desperate to see her. He's not going to just immediately go for some other girl.
I think, though, from Elle's perspective in this moment, when you think about her, like, kind of last 24 hours, the last time she saw Mike in the void, he basically walks away, and she might be thinking, oh my god, you know, he's given up on me.
Yeah, he's finally gonna let another girl in.
He's given up on me. That's why I need to see him, because he's lost the faith. And then she has, you know, she'd already had the situation where Hopper hadn't come home when he was meant to. She then experiences that in the void with Mike. She then wakes up into a really frustrating situation with Hopper where he won't clarify when he's soon, and she has now risked her safety, everything that she has had to endure for almost a year, to go and see Mike, and she's built it up in her head as to what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
And it isn't.
It isn't, and that's it. I just...
And this poor girl, only kind of social interaction she's truly had is with things like soap operas, where love is like stereotyped or blown out of proportion. There's probably lots of affairs and all sorts of stuff going on in these soap operas.
Yeah.
So she's seeing him with another girl, and that is enough for her to be like, he has forgotten about me.
Yeah.
He has moved on. I'm heartbroken.
Exactly. So that's it. She forces Max off a skateboard. It's just such a shame that Max had to be there, because this could... I know it would have had to be very short and sweet.
Yes.
But it could have been a beautiful reunion between them both, because it would just be them.
Yeah.
They would have ran for each other. And that's it. As I say, it would have been short and sweet. She would have had to go straight away. I have written that before, and I really want to rewrite it, because it's such a favourite concept of mine.
Yeah.
Of what if they met up here? And I really want to redo that now with all everything else we've got and all of that.
Yeah.
But either way, yeah, no. Unfortunately, that's not canon, so...
No.
She trips Max up on a skateboard, and as he's helping her up, she very much focuses on the hands together as he's helping her up off the floor. And then she's saying, oh, it's like this magnet just pushed me off the skateboard and all that. And you can see in Mike's head, it immediately clicks. That has to be L. It can't be anything but L.
Yeah, the hope just reignites in him for a moment.
Literally, instantly, the flame reignites that L's out there.
Yeah.
And he immediately looks over to the doors, and I'm just like, God damn it, Al, why did you run away so soon? If you stayed there for a second, he would have saw you. And now I want to write that instead.
Yes.
He would have saw you through those doors, and that's it. Max would have been forgotten. It would have just been another beautiful reunion between you two. Another flying visit, but... that would have been the reunion there, and everything between you two would be fixed to an extent of working around Hopper.
It's a difficult one, though, because I would love for them to have been reunited at this point. It hurts so much that they are so close and yet so far. But I feel like the entire storyline of season two, the rest of it, would have had to change massively.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Elle's powers would have increased. Because she wouldn't have gone on some sort of like self-discovering journey. I think that Will potentially would have been in more danger. Well, Elle potentially would have been in more danger, because Will is very much possessed by Vecna / Mind Flayer, so he could have just easily just turned to her and strangled her. You know, there's a hell of a lot that would have potentially been at risk.
Yeah.
Because of that decision.
That's it. And I'm not going to ramble on about my old fic where I wrote this.
Yeah.
Because it's out there. If you want to read it, you can read it. But, that old one, School Reunion, I called it. I wrote a way of it then segueing into everything happening as it does.
Yeah.
And all I'll mention is the reason she then still goes out to find her mother and all of that is because she's saying, listen, yes, I met him and all of that, and he said he's not going to tell anyone. Why can't I see him? And Hopper's like, it's still too dangerous.
Yeah.
I still can't let you. And so all of that still happens.
Yeah. I just think it would be a huge split focus for Mike, because like he's trying to help Will, but he's thinking, did I dream seeing Elle? Like, you know, I want to ask her so many things, and like, is she okay? And, you know, where's she been?
But that's it. It's a way of it being a flying visit, but then it still remains so hard, if not harder, for them both.
Yeah.
And so the rest of the season still can happen.
Yeah. It's heartbreaking, because we just want them back together. They are both suffering so much.
Yeah.
And they need to be together.
They do. They do. But and of course, I hate the fact that it's now 10 to 12 because I just want to write that again now.
But this is it. Like, obviously, this has just happened. And then we get our ending scene, which is the most dramatic yet, really. Which is...
Other than Will screaming bloody murder when the vines are being burned.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I say. Most dramatic yet.
Okay. Yet. Yet.
Will, you know, is looking for Dart. He finds Dart. And then...
Yeah. And that's it. He tries saying, you know, hi, I'm not going to hurt you.
Yeah, yeah.
But Dart's just like, I'm going to growl at you.
Yeah, I'm just going to do my little growl at you instead.
Just going to scream at you, make you crap your pants.
Yeah, and the thing is, Will is back in the Upside Down and...
Yeah.
He's being chased by that Mind Flayer. You know, he makes it all the way to, like, the football pitch and... He turns and we've got the words of Bob going, and that's what we were saying earlier about that scene where you could easily believe Bob is evil at this point because it's almost played in like a creepy way, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
they definitely play it.
I turned to him and I said, "Go away." And
yeah, like, yeah, it plays it as a thing where you could think Bob is deliberately saying all of that so that Will does this and gets caught.
And you've got to say, my God. I'm not saying, like, Mr. Baldo wasn't scary, but what Will is facing is ginormous, it's huge, it's terrifying. And bless his heart, he stands there, he's tiny still, you know, it's one of season two. And he's like, go away, and he's screaming it with all his might and all this passion.
Yeah.
But it does nothing.
Oh, it doesn't work at all.
It comes for him and, begins to possess.
Yep, the first season it was the Demogorgon got you, now the Mind Flayer's got you.
Yeah, and it's just, it's a very uncomfortable scene, as obviously we will continue into it into the next episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's begun its possession. And the only other scene I haven't really mentioned, on purpose really, because it's going to go into the next episode as well, is Nancy is starting to formulate a plan against the lab.
Yes.
She rings Mrs. Holland and Barb's mum, saying that she hasn't been completely honest with her. She wants to meet her in the park tomorrow to discuss Barb and something she's got to say. And, you know, there's a plan that is starting to
form.
That's
it,
there.
Yeah. So Elle's on this phone call, knowing full well the lab are listening.
Then.
Nancy. Nancy's on the phone saying all of this, knowing full well that the lab are listening, and that's her exact intention.
She is a smart girl.
Yeah.
She is. When it comes to things like this,
yeah,
Nancy
exactly.
Is very
She's
smart,
not great at relationships, but she's great at this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's it. She's not intending to meet Barb's parents, but she very much wants to meet the lab.
Yeah. And I know we had a bit of a discussion about it before, but in my mind, in my opinion, I think she must slip Barb's mum some sort of note to say, either before this phone call or after this phone call, to say, listen, please trust me. I'm either going to make this phone call to you and I need you to say this, or if it's after the phone call, please do not meet me tomorrow. I have a plan. I will explain as soon as I can.
Yeah.
You know.
That's it. I could 100% believe that. I could also believe it being the lab then faking a note from Nancy to Barb's parents saying, oh, I need to cancel.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it, I'm just grieving or something.
Yeah.
So, either way, I could believe Nancy saying, oh, let's not meet up, I need to cancel.
Yeah.
I could also 100% believe the lab would want to do that because, like I say, they don't want Nancy saying anything.
Yeah.
So they're going to try to make sure that Barb's parents don't go anywhere to hear any of this.
Yeah.
I could believe it either way.
Yeah, I could definitely believe, especially because it's all being formulated by Nancy. I can imagine Nancy being like, please do not meet me tomorrow.
Yeah, I get your side as well.
I have a plan. And, but either way, Nancy is setting the seeds here for the events of the next episode.
That's it. She very much wants to be caught.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Jonathan's on board as well.
Yeah.
He's going to help however he can. And, you know, it's their, like, you know, they have their mission in season one. And then we've got this mission now in season two.
Exactly.
Because that's it. She is not for all the kind of confusion over relationships, and I do get frustrated with her because, you know, I do feel bad for Steve at this point. I do. At the same time, you've got to admire the fact that she is not going to let the lab get away with anything.
No, exactly. She's determined on this side of things.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And, you know, that is an exciting element of season two, and it does, we all know, spoiler alert, provide justice for Barb in the end. So
yeah,
it'll be, yeah, interesting to get back into that storyline as well as all the others.
Yes, indeed.
And I think that is everything covered from chapter three.
It is indeed. In terms of this ending, we're not going to manage to keep it under 1 hour and a half. We are there now.
And this is it. I did see our hour mark, but we didn't have too many points left. So no, I thought there was no point splitting it, because it would literally have been an hour episode and then a 30-minute episode. So
yeah, that's it. Oh, we'd have to go down the 45-minute mark. But yeah, it'd be awkward.
So I would say thank you so much for listening today.
Yes, thank you very much.
Slightly longer episode, but we got it all in, so I'm sure you're pleased with that.
Yes, exactly. We've not had to split this one in two. Happy days.
Happy days. I was going to say we'll be back with the next episode, but I couldn't think of the title.
It is Will the Wise.
Oh.
I looked at that before I turned the TV off.
Oh. Not so wise then. Maybe that is wise, actually.
That's what I did last time. That's the only way I'm going to remember them.
Well, we've survived this episode with colds, coughs. We got there.
We did indeed.
Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you again on Friday.
We shall indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.